This is James Robertson, CINCOM Small Talk Product Evangelist, bringing you another talk from the European Small Talk Users Group meeting held in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, in August of 2008. Here's Lucas Ringley talking about Seaside's growth and Seaside portability across Smalltalk dialects at ESUG 2008.
I'm going to start out with some numbers about the last year, how Seaside did in the last year. So a very important point is that we changed bug trackers. Before we were on the Mantis bug tracker, but that was sort of annoying because not everybody could submit bugs. They had to register, they had to fill a lot of forms. And we didn't get enough bugs, actually. So that's why we moved to Google. The Google Bug Tracker, which is much easier. You just, when you discover something where you are unsure or when you think there is a bug, you can just submit it there, add tags if you want. But it's really simple. Basically, just a subject line is enough for us to know if you have a problem with CSS. This is the average over the last years of visitors, how many minutes they spent on our site, and I think this is a pretty high number and shows quite a big interest in Seaside in general. Then we are currently supporting more than 6 Smalltalk platforms, and this is actually what I'm going to talk about most during today's presentation. So I will concentrate on how we achieve this portability among 6 mostly very different platforms. We also have a new mailing list, Seaside Dev list. This list has currently 80 members and it's targeted at the development of Seaside. So not at users of Seaside, that's programmers Seaside, but at core developers and people that actually contribute code. I don't know exactly why there are 80 subscribers, but we don't have that many contributors. So maybe there is just interest or people subscribe to the wrong list. Then we have 111 Facebook group members. Join our group if you are not in there. There are also some news sometimes there where you can see, for example, what's going on in the Seaside community when we are doing meetings or gatherings, so on. Then again about the Seaside website, we have on average during the last year we had more than 250 unique visitors per day, and I think again that's quite a good number. Then there are more than 800 members subscribed on the Seaside list. This is probably where most of you should go if you want to ask questions about Seaside, if you have problems about Seaside. By the way, if you don't want to touch Google and want to submit your bugs, then you can also send a mail to the Seaside mailing list and someone of us will take care to move that bug into our bug tracker. So that's also not really a problem. And then the last number I'm going to show you is actually the biggest success of this year of Seaside. This is the one-click image. So those of you that haven't seen it yet, go on the Seaside website. There is a link, Squeak download. This is a download for a development environment that you can download with one click, start on your computer, and you have a working development environment and web server running on your machine. So that got quite a lot of attention that I'm showing you here. The visitors per day again, the number. So before I said, on average, it's about 200. You can see that sort of, and down here you see when we did releases. I forgot to update that we did a 2A3 release just here at the end of the graph. So that's August last year, ESUG, and this is August this year, around the time of ESUG. Yes.
So the question, what's the URL? I tried common format.
Csite.st. Other questions? If you have questions, just interrupt. So now, the interesting thing with this graphic, of course, is what are these peaks here? So we sort of tried to identify what happened at the time and why we suddenly had almost 2,000 visitors at one day. Well, the first peak is the one-click image when we announced it. That got quite a lot of attention from several blogs and also outside the Squeak community or Seaside community. Because people could suddenly, without having any knowledge on Smalltalk, just download an image and have a ready Seaside web server running on their machine and maybe play a bit with it. Then another peak, this is this one here. Anybody has a guess what this could be?
Slashdot.
What?
Slashdot.
No, not yet. No, so this was our first April Fool's joke. It was also getting quite some attention from other communities. It was blocked on some blogs outside the Smalltalk community. So if you have ideas for the next year, we are looking already for good ideas to get some peaks next year as well. Sorry? Yeah, you also find the details on the Seaside website. It's on the where is it exactly, Keith?
Search for it.
Yeah, just search for April on the Seaside website. So it was, we said that we wanted to port Seaside to Java, essentially. But you find the details on the website. Good. So I've already talked about the platforms, and now I'm quickly going through on what platforms we currently run. So Squeak, this is or was our development platform of choice up to now. Seaside is very well running on the new Squeak fork Faro as well. I'm using that personally for development. Then, also since last ESOC, it's running on GNU Smalltalk. There's a supported version of GNU Smalltalk if you like files and if you like to work on the command line. That's the platform to go. And then, of course, the big vendors are all still in. We have seen presentation from Syncom and Gemstone. And there is also an up-to-date port for Dolphin Smalltalk, where also the latest version of Seaside is running on.
And what about FiduH?
That's still in the soon status, so I'm hoping that will be running soon.
9 o'clock tomorrow morning,
I thought. All right. Smalltalk. Okay, I'm sorry. I will fix that before I distribute the PDF. So, but this platform, that's not just, don't just get all these platforms for free. So before I talk about what we do as the core development team about getting this compatibility, I would like to thank all the porters that really do the hard job and make that the source code gets from Squeak into their platform. So I would like to thank, for example, Dale, and who else is here that does a lot of porting, of moving code around? Yeah, you too. Paolo Bonsini is not here.
You guys just make it real easy.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's really the hard job. So what do we do exactly about the portability? How do we ensure that our code runs exactly the same on Squeak, Faro, VisualWorks, Gemstone, Dolphin, etc. So I have split that into several sections, so I'm first going to talk about the syntax. So for example, Squeak has this strange underscore syntax. That's a big no, we don't use it, and if you don't use it, then your assignments are portable. Otherwise you are lost. Then there are all the constructs that are specific to speed, like phrase arrays. This is also something you can easily work around by just not using them and writing your array constructors by hand. Gemstone has something like array constructors. In addition, syntax and speed, obviously we are also not using them. Then we have belt arrays. That's in Squeak, I think, and in VisualWorks, possible. The new compiler has it that as well in Squeak, so it's sort of half in Squeak as well. But that means we don't use it, right? So we instantiate the byte arrays by hand. Then something from VisualWorks that we are not using. Again, something from Gemstone that we are not using. These are things to query collections. And then, last but not least, Squeak has several strange constructs like this if not nil and if not nil do, which are totally incompatible with any other small talk. So, Seth, we should get rid of them in Faro.
No,
you
can then
in all of the
small
talk. No, no. But that's a different discussion. Anyway.
Well, actually, you could take that conversation to the standard mailing list if you want.
Yeah, I was thinking about my presentation during yours as well, so. But I'm not going into discussions. If you have comments about this particular thing, then that's fine too. And then Pragmas, they sort of become standard in the past few years, so we don't use them yet, but we might consider using them in future versions of CSET. So this was about the syntax of the Smalltalk language that we restrict ourselves to ensure the portability. Then there is, of course, a huge library of code. So what we do there? So first let's talk about the collections. One dangerous thing is to try to compare collections, because this equal thing is essentially implemented in all Smalltalk dialects very different, if implemented at all. So if we want to compare collections, we just have to do it manually in our code. Then there is something that is also something that's very specific to Squeak and sort of useless anyway, because you can just write keys and values do on a sequenceable collection instead of with index do, right? So we just use that. And then a very funny method is pairs do that Squeak implements on sequenceable collection, and many other Smalltalk dialects also implement that, but in various ways. So in Squeak, this evaluates a block that takes two arguments and passes in the first and the second and the third and the fourth, etc. And other small talks throw maybe an exception if there is an odd number of arguments, or pass in all the permutations of the collection, or do something rather fancy. So we cannot just use that. And actually, a few years ago, there were quite a few users of that, and we had to all refactor those to use something ugly as that. But fortunately, this is portable and works in all Smalltalk dialects. By the way, I forgot to mention in the beginning, all these points that I'm presenting here right now are also available on the CSite website, csite.st, and it lists all the things that in the coding convention. So you just look for coding conventions in the search bar, and then you should see these points.
And we use that as
I don't know if that's generally usable, but if you follow that, it's certainly much easier. It's especially targeted at CSite, of course, and the things it does, but in general, it might be not. There might be things missing.
Do you have some then fruit school check for that?
Wait a second. First, I'm going to talk about strings. These are sort of special collections, but also give some problems. So, for example, one thing is that not on all dialects, and even in Squeak I heard, a symbol is not a string, so you can't do everything you do with a string also with a symbol, which is sort of obvious. but you have to pay attention that there used to be code in CSite that assumed that a symbol is a string as well. Then a very bad thing in Smalltalk that I would really, really, really love to go with the match method in string. Because it's, maybe for those that don't know it, this is sort of a DOS-like, very oldish, regular expression thing. With stars and question marks and
no hashes.
Hashes and question marks, I think. Very odd. And best of all, it doesn't work on Squeak. It's totally broken on UTF-16, I think. But Philip will tell you all the details about that. So we cannot use that. And it would be really cool if the small talks would just have a regular expression engine that works according to the standards, and not something crappy like that.
There is no standard for regular expressions.
Yeah, Perl regular expressions are pretty well known, so I could live with that. There is one more problem, how to convert objects to strings. That's something that happens quite often in web applications because in the end, a web application just renders to a plain string, a huge HTML file. And we used to use in Squeak the AddString method. But unfortunately, this gives some problems on platforms that do not support AddString on objects and even crash when you try to implement it. So we thought, okay, then let's maybe do display string, because that's something that we can easily add to Squeak even on object, and that should work fine on object. But unfortunately, there is, again, another problem here. So that is that some platforms actually return a formatted string or text instead of a plain string, as the method says. So that then again doesn't really work in the context of CSite. So the only thing that we could do here is to really implement our own conversion method. And that's what we will do in the future as well with similar cases. We just use the Java conversion and say toString. And we hope that this does not conflict with your code, right? So we take that sort of as a namespace.
What about printstream?
No. Yeah, that's something else. That's something for the debugger and for the inspectors. And of course, last but not least with the strings, we have the problem with I.O. That's something that is highly incompatible with across the platform, and we try to avoid it at all costs. And this really works well because, for example, all the low-level socket handling is in the server adapters for the particular server, and we really don't care in CSite about that. Yeah?
In fact, it's too straight. Why not do some really intentional reviewing, like saying, has CSite script, or has CSite is very long, but it's intentional revealing, and two strings seems likely to be to other people, i.e. package up.
ToString has been used by quite a couple of libraries already.
Oh. Yeah, we can discuss that later.
Those have been translated from Java.
The automatic converted code.
Well, or beginning students or whatever, but I've seen quite a couple of times that this will change.
Okay.
I think, but I'm not sure. Maybe I'm mistaken. Is that an XML thing?
And that's why I'm presenting it here. We have it currently like this in CSite 2.9, but we are not yet in the alpha phase, so we can still change.
I advise.
So complain now, not in 2 months.
I agree with Bruce, put the CSite name in it.
C-string. So obviously, I showed you now only a small part, essentially, of all the coding conventions and things that we try to follow to ensure portability. But that's not really something anybody of you could remember all the time, right? And that's why we write tests for that. And that's what I'm going to talk now, and that's what you asked, right? So Everybody of you knows Lint for small talk, small Lint. Yep. That is part of the refactoring browser, right? And it discovers all kinds of violations and problems in your code. And you should run that all the time, in my opinion. As often as you run your tests, right? So what we did is we added new rules to Lint that target particular problems in CSite. And not only for portability, but also to ensure that the quality of your CSite code is okay. So we have 6 rules to detect portability issues. That's the first part. And how do these rules look like? Well, they are rather simple. So the first line detects that the underscore assignment does not work in anything else than squeak. The second rule detects that it does not, you should not use curly brace arrays, and Keras 2 is something that you should never use anyway. So these are 3 examples in total 6 rules. Then we have rules to detect bugs. And this is now something that every CSite developer should run all the time, right? When you write CSite code, you should run these rules. For example, what's wrong with this first paragraph of CSite code? Yes, Julian, go ahead.
The mail is not last.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that you can really easily detect statically. We wrote some rules, and it will tell you that you have to move that last. And in the next step, it could even offer you the refactoring to do automatically. What's wrong in the second paragraph of code? That's a bit a trickier one. But I see that all the time in reality. A lot of people are...
You should use HTML is hard.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a Ajax updater. And it renders here to the HTML stream. And eventually, through an Ajax update, at a later point in time, it will evaluate this block and generate a new HTML stream. But this HTML stream here is referring to the old one. So you really have to use the one that is passed into the block. And that can be easily detected using the refactoring tools. It could even be fixed automatically. But that's not done right at the moment. Then we have some 4 rules to detect possible bugs. So here I have only one example that combines a lot of errors on one line or 2 lines. So any takers for this one? What's wrong with this line? Yeah, so that's the first one. Well, that's the second one, actually. You should not call while rendering. That's what tasks or callbacks are for. Then another thing is that you should not change the state of a component while rendering, because when you hit refresh, it will all the time change the state of your component. And the third thing is sort of related, so you should not instantiate new components while rendering, because this will recreate that component every time you hit refresh and you will lose all the state of that component, right? So these are all things that in rare conditions maybe you want to do it, but then you are really on the hacky side. Normally you don't want to do that.
Is there a dot missing at the end of the first line?
No, that's a method declaration.
Ah, that's a method.
Then it should be bold.
We haven't written a rule for that yet.
Python requires it to be in bold.
Yeah. Then there are other problems. We can quickly go through that. These are mostly problems where your code is not as efficient or as short as possible. So what we can do here with the first line is we can just scratch that width, because that's not really necessary and you're not setting any attributes. So it's something that Slime will point out. And then here, the block is not really needed. So you can just remove the block and put the high directly into a string to an pass it as an argument to the diff instead of the block. And last but not least, this is something that is stylistically not really nice, but a lot of people are unfortunately doing it. They put a lot of functionality that should rather go to your controller or to your model directly into the view of CSight. So here CSight, this line points out that you should actually move that functionality somewhere else. So it suggests that you should use the extract to method refactor.
And still you call the method of your model in the format?
Sorry?
You call the method of the model in this format?
Yeah, you will still call the extracted code from within your callback, but you should not put all the functionality into the view rendering code, right? So these are all things that are applied by our rules. So have a look at the rules. It's in the one-click image now. So you just download your one-click image, load your code, and try out the rules, and I'm sure you will find some problems. I found dozens of problems in Peer and in Magritte, and I fixed them all. And I think that improves the code quality a lot. So talking about tests, last year I showed you this graphic with the unit tests. So you all know that we are currently working on CSight 2.9, and that we are also writing a lot of tests in 2.9. So any guesses how many tests we already have in 2.9?
Not enough to fit on that slide.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So let's have a look where actually this bar ends and move a bit up. It's not coming yet. So we are currently here, and I'm sure we will hit the 400 test bar. Give you an overview over this slide. I shrink everything a bit together. So you see that with CSight 2.9 we more than 3 times more tests than in previous versions, and CSight 2.9 will probably even be more than 3.0 times more tests. So that was just a small note in brackets. Let's go back to the portability stuff, and let's have a look at the source format. So what kind of source formats are we using? So first of all, to note, we are not using any interchange formats. I remember when I came to Smalltalk in 2002, everybody was talking about source exchange formats. We are not using that. We are, in Squeak at least, solely using Monticello. And I made a small table that shows the relationship of Squeak or Squeak forks towards other small talks and how this conversion of the source codex actually works. So there is a way to get code from Squeak into all the other small talks because they all support small talk CSight in some way. So Syncom, as far as I know, is sort of reading the Monticello file and loading the code into their image. Gemstone has done a very good thing. They implemented Monticello and Gemstone, and they just load our code. So that's nice. And new small talk and Dolphin is doing something similar. But now the other parts are a bit more difficult. So what do you do, for example, if you have CSight code in Syncom small talk and want to move it back to Squeak? Or if you found a bug and fixed it in Syncom CSight, and want to merge it back into the main branch. And now this is really where the trouble starts, because that's not really easy. There are tools to do that. So there are exporters in VisualWorks or in GNU Smalltalk or in Dolphin to get that code back into CSight. But for us, this is very difficult because we don't exactly know what modifications you did to the code, from what CSight version you were taking that code from. And merging is not a one-click step anymore. That's just the case with Gemstone, because they have the full versioning information and we can just merge back the code. And this is why we really think that to not get locked down into these other dialects, you really should, or the vendors should, investigate importing either Monticello or Monticello 2. Because now Monticello 2 is coming up, and this is really a cool thing. It's designed from ground up to be compatible across the different platforms. And this would really make the life of the porters, the life of the people that fix Sparks, and our life much easier, because we could just merge back your changes into our code. Was that sort of convincing? Yeah? So Monticello 2. Have a look at Monticello 2. This is really the future of Smalltalk source code exchange, I think.
That really works, all right? Because what went on during the first year of porting, since I supported Monticello from the start, or once I got to that point, I would go in and make changes in my repository, and I'd come back in a week or so and look at what Philippe and Lucas had been doing. Without ever having to talk to me or anything, they saw the code that I put in there, decided which ones they wanted to put into Seaside, and just did it. And it was relatively magic. I was just moving forward, you know. It didn't cost me anything to feed the changes back. All right, that was marvelous. And you know, so that worked well. And then parts of it, you didn't take everything, and that's fine. And then I would merge back in, and so that really works, and it works well because the cost is you write your code, you fix the bugs. Somebody else can look and decide whether they want it or not. You don't have to push. You know, you don't have to ask. You don't have to say, look at this. When you take it, the information is there. And if they do take it, if they don't take it, you're still going to be able to merge, and it's no big deal. So, anyway.
How much effort was it for Monticello?
I think the tools were probably the biggest issue. I spent a month getting Monticello working, and I spent a month getting the zip file stuff working. All right? And at that point, I basically was supporting Monticello with workspaces, all right? I lived along with using tools that were built in Squeak for a while, but even the tools, I think Avi wrote them in about a week, so, you know, I was probably just brain dead, so.
Well, I guess Monticello 1 is a bit hairy to port to different dialects because it has no generic model of how to version the code entities. But Monticello 2 should be much easier in that regard.
And the one thing I want to say is it can be pretty much, you don't need necessarily the same set of tools to push and pull as you do if you're living in the environment all the time. You know, the set of tools can be a little bit different. So.
Okay. So what we do is for the platform support, so for all the rest, that is not really platform compatible. So right now, I'm sorry, Bruce, we are not using Spork. We have our own little class, Smalltalk, Seaside Platform Support, and it's essentially a place where every vendor or every porter has to implement certain functionality that we cannot just do in a way that it works on all platforms. And we try to keep it as small and lean as possible. Now there are two small other things that I would like to talk about. This is the
screen. Yeah, as you're there, and I made the point, why aren't you using Spork?
Yes.
Sorry?
I haven't made the point. Why are you not using Spork?
Well, there are several things. First of all, we don't need the functionality that is in Spork. So as far as I understand, this is mostly about files and sockets and exceptions, right?
Well, and the fact that streams started a different place, and the fact that file translations happen differently in the browser, the fact that dates and times handle differently in the browser.
Okay. Yeah, these would be sort of useful, but I think the problems that we have are in different areas. Like maybe Felix can chime in here.
I'm left looking at the code. There is a partial implementation that comes in port that uses Spork, but it's using what's available Spork, but it's not full implementation because it's not good.
Yeah, we would still need, we cannot do everything that we need to do with Spork.
Okay, I'm thinking that what we're trying to do is kill Spork by getting things into the standard. It would be good to have all the.
Well, that would be perfect,
of course, right. It would be good to get them all in one place.
Okay. Then one or two remaining things that I wanted to talk about just briefly is the namespace prefix we are using. Squeak has no standardized namespace implementation, and that's why we are using these prefixes. Now, something that we see quite often is that people use these two letters for their own code. Even vendors use this to name their classes with this prefix. But that's really the idea that nobody else than the core code should contain these two letters at the beginning of the class, so that we can name our stuff the way we like. So this is really a seaside thing. Even if you write your small example applications, you should maybe consider it naming differently. Right. So that's one thing. And the other thing that we are doing for packaging, and I'm not going into details here because Julian was already talking about that this morning, is the packaging. So we have a fairly standard group of packages that work on all the platforms, and then every vendor can essentially add their own packages that are particular to their platform. So, how does our dream vendor look like? I'm quickly going through that. So, we would like to have some sort of a feedback loop. So, we would like if you do continuous integration and would immediately use a public, at least a public bug tracker, so that we know what kind of problems you face. It would be the best if you used our Google bug tracker. There are tags for every supported platform already, but that never happened up to now that somebody from a different platform added a bug to CSI. Then I already mentioned that we would love if you use Monticello or Monticello 2 so that we can actually get back your changes into the main branch. And this is something that is just general remarks. We would like you to build one-click images as well. So the one-click image is essentially a full-stack solution. It's not usable for production in most cases, but it works out of the box. So provide something that works out of the box. And something we really appreciate is supporting multi-CPUs. That's also something that is coming with Qt right now, with the Hydra project, so we are very much looking forward into that direction and where this is taking us to. And the things that Philip that is going to talk about soon, I'm also not going to talk about this. This is, by the way, Chinese for Seaside. I don't know, I found that on the net somewhere.
It's horrible.
Does anybody understand that, actually?
Yes. This is great location.
Next time I'll ask you if I need something like that. And provide a better user interface for development. This is also something that I spent quite some time during this year with the lint rules and also with the refactoring tool integration in Squeak. This is something that I think all the Smalltalk dialects can, or there is a lot of potential to improve in that area. Now I already announced, and you might have heard, that we are doing a Seaside Sprint from Friday afternoon and Saturday during the whole day. So I'm going to give a quick overview about that, and then you're essentially free to have your coffee. So this sprint will start right after ESA, and will be also on Saturday and maybe on Sunday if there are interested people. So Philip and I have to leave on Sunday at lunchtime, but until then we essentially plan to work very hard on goals that will be defined at the beginning of the sprint. So who do we address? So we don't address everybody. That would be too much and we cannot host that many people. We are thinking about maybe 10 people that are really into Seaside, that want to contribute, that want to maybe become a core developer and already contributed code to the library. And then there we are also interested into the people that work on ports to various platforms or vendors that want to discuss with us in what direction we should go. So the main goal of this sprint is towards a version of Seaside that can be tested by a big amount of people, not just by us and a few interested programmers. So, and the last question is, where will it be? That hasn't been determined yet, so you have to contact us if you want to know the exact location. Likely it will be at two different locations on Friday and Saturday. Of course, as usual, I have some small thing yet left. The first part was actually already showed yesterday by Noah. So you have seen this iPhone thing for Peer. But actually, this is, if you step one step back, then you probably already guessed that there is a library behind the whole thing that you can actually download and use to build C-sign applications for the iPhone. And you can download it here from this URL, and I can show you another little example that we wrote together. And essentially this is now showing up on the wrong screen. So what you see here is a code browser for Smalltalk. It's really easy. This was about 60, 70 lines of Smalltalk code to write this code, and you can browse the image. And so, for example, you can have a look at collections and go into a method. Which one do you not want? This one, this is quite popular, I think. You can change it. You can see it? Yeah, I'm not using the iPhone keyboard right now. And then you can save that method, and this should have been compiled, that new method.
Yes.
No, that's a simulator of the iPhone. Yeah, it's running on also on the Android platform. It should be running. It's running on any WebKit browser.
Okay. So this means that if I really want to browse some stuff,
you need web access or somehow run the web server on your iPhone.
So that will be soon.
I hope so. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And that's a library, as I said. You can download this library from the Monticello repository of mine. All the JavaScript code that is needed is in there. There are two examples, and that's all I wanted to show you. If you have any questions, I'm around till Sunday at lunchtime.
In this next segment, I have Dave Buck with this week's Cimbron Design Minute.
This is David Buck with today's Cimbron Design Minute. As we approach Halloween, I thought I'd talk about some software design problems that I find truly scary. The first one is convoluted code. Convoluted code is normally the result of many different problems working together. Long methods, many temporary variables, nested control structures, complex conditions, and multiple levels of detail mixed together are some factors that contribute to making code convoluted. Usually the problem is that the developer is focused on the how to make the code work, than the what do I want to do. By focusing on the what, you can break down the operation into several smaller understandable steps. When the convoluted code is restricted to a method, it's usually possible to tease it apart with a bit of work. When the convoluted code extends to many methods or many classes, it can become difficult, if not impossible, to eliminate. The best way to fix convoluted code is to avoid it in the first place. Whenever you see your code become convoluted, fix it then and there. The real messes are made from many small messes stacked one on top of the other. This has been the Cimbron Design Minute. Cimbron offers training and consulting in object-oriented development and the Smalltalk programming language. For more information, visit www.cimbron.com or email info@cimbron.com.
In this segment, we have James Savage with the week's Smalltalk Jobs Report.
I'm James T. Savage, and this is the Smalltalk Jobs Report. Nottingham, UK. Romax Technology Limited has a permanent position for a technical writer in a Smalltalk company who has experience with Microsoft Office, project management, technical documentation, Adobe Designer, Adobe FrameMaker, and has excellent communication skills. Experience that is considered a plus includes CAD, Fortran, C++, and Smalltalk. Detmold or Stuttgart, Germany. Tricept is looking for a Smalltalk consultant programmer Experience that is considered a plus includes web services, SQL, German language, banking or financial services, DB2, and visual age Smalltalk. From one of the emails about this position, quote, Java, J2EE consultant, programmers, willing to get into Smalltalk, sometimes welcome. Java on host preferred. Close quote. Back in the U.S., Minneapolis, Minnesota. Precision System Design has a 6-plus-month contract for a senior Smalltalk developer who also has experience with OOAD and has good communication skills. SQL experience is considered a plus. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Precision System Design has a 9-plus-month contract for a Smalltalk developer who also has experience with HTML, SQL Server, XML, ASP, JavaScript, C and C++, and Java. Omaha, Nebraska. There are multiple positions being advertised by Planet Consulting, Inc., Tech Systems, Surix Solutions Corporation, Technisource, Integration International, Inc., Data Resource Technologies, Amtex Systems, Inc., Modus, and BLS Systems, Inc., for a Smalltalk developer or developers who have experience with Unix. Visual Age Smalltalk is considered a plus for these 11 months contract. These are just a few examples of the Smalltalk positions that are currently open across the world. For more details, visit our public directory page at xrl.us/smalltalkjobs or read my blog, Message Sends with an Undefined Object. No more news on this reporter's job search, but good luck with your job hunting.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that talk from ESUG 2008, held in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, in August of 2008. If you did, head on over to syncomsmalltalk.com and check out the podcast area. We have a weekly podcast and lots more content where this came from. You can also send feedback to smalltalkpodcasts@syncom.com. You can head on over to the Industry Misinterpretations Group on Facebook, the Smalltalkers Group at Ning. You can head on over to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. And of course, you can go to Podcast Alley and cast a vote for us.